Welcome to the Crossing Church Rewind, brought to you by the teaching team here at the Crossing Church in Westminster, Colorado, where we dive a little deeper and explore a little further the ideas and themes shared from this past weekend at the Crossing Church. My name is Pastor Nathan. I am one of the teaching pastors here and the creative arts pastor here at the Crossing Church. And joining me today, to my left is...
I am Pastor Mark. I'm the discipleship pastor here.
And to my right...
I'm Pastor Leslie. I'm the children and family pastor here.
The reason we give directions is not for you guys listening.
It's for us.
Purely for us. Because nobody knows where my left is right now.
It's true.
And last week, Mark wholly went backwards and started with the person to the right.
Yes. And you gotta change it up from time to time.
It really threw it off. Yeah. I just want you to know that it was very, and I had to hold up my hands to figure out where the L is.
That I caused chaos for you in the middle of the work week.
It was the beginning of the work week.
What's new?
It threw my entire work week off.
Yeah. Man.
I don't even know what to do around
here.
Might
as well have just gone home.
I might have.
Yes. Still might. Who knows?
I don't remember. I'm going to leave mid-podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
But we also have a special guest with us today in the office, not here on the podcast, although maybe there's a chance you end up hearing.
Yeah.
Probably not.
She's running around somewhere.
So... Who's the special guest?
Our doggo, Aspen, the happiest doggo in all of
She looks like a fox.
She looks like an Arctic fox.
An Arctic fox.
She's very sweet.
Yeah, so we're having some, conveniently on Saturday, we had two separate leaks in our apartment.
Did you cook them and make soup?
Good soup. Anyway, so conveniently, two separate incidents, we had maintenance come out and look, and they went, yep, that's a leak. And so they're
wow, yeah, good right. job, guys.
So they're doing some work in the next couple of days in our apartment. So we just figured it'd be easier just to bring Aspen in
right.
today.
And not because she would be mean or attack them.
No, she probably would distract them.
She would just be like, pet me.
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, why are you here? Oh, touch me, please.
It's going to be a lot of loud noises. That and she startles easily.
Yeah.
So they have to remove some of our drywall because we have mold.
I don't think it's going to be some. I think it's going to be a lot of drywall.
Are you guys even going to be able to stay in your apartment then?
Yeah, we should be
fine.
It's
just a little bit.
It's the front.
Like this much.
It's the... She's making hand motions for those
for,
who...
For all yeah, of you watching.
Look, just for Nate, really. So, I could show you a picture.
Yeah, it's our front entryway closet. So there's a water supply line. And we've noticed every so often there's a little bit of water outside, but never thought anything of it. And because it was outside, didn't have an issue inside. Well, evidently that supply line decided to say, I'm going to dump some water everywhere today. So
free. So a little swimming pool in your apartment.
Yeah, just a small one.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, so,
it's fun.
Yeah.
So but you're here. And we've got a new office dog.
Yeah.
She literally.
Oh, my gosh. Said hi to everyone.
Every single person.
I would bring her every day if I didn't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
I mean. She's not that disruptive.
We're bringing her tomorrow, too.
Yeah. We'd get about as much work done.
Maybe I'll bring Maggie, too.
Oh, man.
No, that will be distracting.
That would be, Our dog is about 40 pounds. Yours...
85.
...was supposed to be 40
Mine
pounds.
Was supposed to be no bigger than 40 pounds, and the place we got her, the rescue, lied to us. Or they just didn't know.
Yeah.
She's a big dog.
Very sweet, though.
Very sweet. She's very well behaved. It would take a little bit for them to calm down, and then they would probably be fine.
Yeah, they'd be
but,
fine.
But, you know, dogs at work...
More offices need dogs. That's my opinion.
Yeah, up until now we've just had you.
It's true. I roll around on the ground sometimes. I bark at passing people.
The way you eat too, just shoving your face into your sandwiches is very strange. I just wanted to mention that here.
You mean you're not supposed to eat them that way?
What are these hands for?
Yeah, weird.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
They don't have opposable thumbs, so you know they got to do what they got to do.
We with the kids, we'll do eat like a dog night, like once every quarter, because it's a lot of cleanup, just like do whatever you want.
That seems like a regular
always on bath night
thing for Avery, though.
That's a regular thing for Avery. He just slams his head into the
slams his head into a lot of things.
That's true. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's kick it off here. We got some never changing it. It's so terrible. It's
so
perfect.
Fun. Yeah. So happy.
The weird and wonderful news of the week.
So this is a fun one. This involves...
You say that every week.
I know, right?
But last week you told us about a toilet. This is a fun one.
It was a fun one.
It's a toilet.
2,700-year-old toilet. Anyway, so there was a Canadian couple. We're going to Canada. So Pastor
Canada.
So there was a Canadian couple who in the... It's a province, correct? Newfoundland?
Yes.
So there, I don't know my Canadian geography quite as well. To be fair, my wife does not know Canadian geography either, but
we played Ticket to Ride together.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Anyway, so this couple in Newfoundland discovered that there was a house kind of out on an isle, I think that's the correct. Yeah. Who knows? They had seen it. They knew that it was for sale. And they went out and they discovered that it was their dream home. They're all about it. They're like, this is the greatest thing ever. Well, the owner at the time couldn't find anyone who was willing to get it and so was going to tear it down. And they said, no. We'd love to have this, you know, whatever. The problem was they already had a piece of property that they were planning on building on. So they ended up saying, you know what? Let's just see if we can move the house.
Which still boggles my mind.
That's a thing?
That you can move houses. Yeah. They do it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So they start planning out the logistics of it, and they realize that it's not going to happen. It's not going to be possible because of issues with, you know, the roads and trees and all kinds of other stuff in the way. Again, this house is kind of out a little ways from what you would typically.
It's in Newfoundland.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, yeah, there's not a whole lot up there, right?
Moose.
So, yeah. That's about
killer
it.
Whales.
Yeah, there's a yep. whole nother story there. But
both of those things.
So instead of giving up, because again, they don't want this. This is their dream home.
Because Canadians don't give up.
They don't give up. They're a feisty people. So
politely feisty.
Politely feisty.
Sorry.
So instead of giving up, they said, you know what? Let's just come up with a really dumb idea. Let's just float the house across the bay. To where we can get it to where then we can move it to our property. And so that's what they did.
You say dumb, I say brilliant.
Yeah, so, but that's not why this is just the feel-good story.
Yeah, they didn't use a boat.
Yeah, they did not use a boat. So they crafted a metal frame, somehow turned that into a raft, attached, so there are barrels underneath the house.
There's some legit engineering going on here.
To keep the house upright.
Newfoundland,
they have nothing else to do. That's true. To keep the house upright, they attached tires, dozens and dozens of tires around the outside of the raft on the edge of the house to keep it hopefully afloat. Now, this is where things got interesting. They got it halfway out into the bay. The house starts to sink.
I was going to say, I saw a picture of this come up on Reddit, so, and I'm like, it did not look like it was going well.
At one point, the water was up to the second story on one corner of the house. So the raft was just, you know, again, the weight distribution, whatever. They didn't think all this through. Then halfway, you know, beyond that, their boat motor just goes out. Whatever they were using to tow the thing.
Did they have a tugboat?
I don't know what they had. So this is now here's where it really becomes Canadian. The entire tiny little town where they were at shows up in their watercraft and helps float this thing the rest of the way over to where they were going to take it on to dry land to be able to move it to the property. So it's now officially, it has been moved. It is now on the new piece of property.
Is it drying it out?
Yeah. So literally they actually said, we got to dry it out.
I could just imagine a guy with a hairdryer.
So, but congrats to this couple who found their dream home. They're renovating a few parts of it, obviously, because part of it was underwater for a time.
It was soaking wet. So, but they got a little mold problem.
Yeah. So, but
their water line leaked into the front closet, maybe.
Yeah. So this happened in the Bay of Islands Inlet is the name of the place that it happened. So, but
you can Google this.
Yeah. So the whole town showed up and helped them get their house across the water.
You know, the Amish raise barns and the Canadians float houses.
The Canadians
apparently.
Float houses. So.
It is amazing to me that one, you can just pick a house up off its foundation.
Yeah.
I know it's possible. I'm not talking about like the modular homes you see on the highway. Like they pick up whole homes and just move them and put them on a new foundation. Yeah. And like it just works. Like, I mean, there's a little bit of repair to do.
But I would be so nervous being like the truck driver or the guy responsible. Like I have an entire house as a payload right now. Like that.
There was, I should have looked this up, but there was an office building, and this was probably in like the late 1800s, early 1900s in Chicago, I believe. And they turned it 180 degrees. They literally turned the office building. But they did it so slowly that people kept working.
That's amazing.
And they never lost any power or whatever. Like the building stayed connected
throughout the whole process. They were able to turn it 180 degrees. I can't remember the reason behind it, but you can Google it. But the ability to do anything like that.
Yeah. Engineers are, they're a whole nother.
Imagine if they turned the building while you were in it and you walked out of the main door. And you're like,
where's my car?
I don't know where I am. Yeah.
I think they said it took something like 3 months.
Oh, it would have to take.
So
yeah.
It was just super slow. That's on the incredible. Train tracks and stuff. Yeah. But have you ever eaten one of like the rotating diners?
I once put my purse down on the window.
You had to wait till you got back around to get.
Yep.
That makes total sense.
Explains a lot about my wife. That's about all you need to know.
I'm still a teenager.
When you were a teenager, you did that?
Yeah.
Nice.
Ugh. Yeah, the Niagara Falls on the Canada side has a rotating restaurant, so you get the views of the falls.
You do. It is pretty if you've never been to Niagara Falls. I've been to both the U.S. and the Canadian side.
Supposedly hopefully this Canadian summer we're going to go to the Canada side.
The Canadian side is much nicer.
Oh, yeah.
It's much more beautiful. So, but if you just swim across a river real quick, you can get there from the U.S.
That's what I hear.
Just don't get caught
Canadian
in the undertow.
Bacon. Just we'll teach you how to do it.
It's one of my favorite.
What a great reference.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Rest in peace, John Candy.
Oh, man.
I watched that movie in geography class in ninth grade.
We always knew my geography teacher, Mr. Abundanza. We always knew if he had too rough of a night the night before.
Because you'd come into class and there's a TV. You'd
come in and there'd be a TV in and the lights would go down.
The video card.
He'd sit in the back of the room with his feet up. And
my geography teacher was the football coach.
Yeah, and that was my biology teacher.
There you go.
So, but anyways, let's talk about this past weekend, which is going to be a little different to give you a little heads up. Pastor Brian is not with us today. And he was the speaker this past weekend. And normally, the way we do this podcast is that we have the speaker here to be able to recap and let us know, you know, other things that maybe didn't make the sermon or hit the cutting room floor, expand a little further. But he is actually heading to Tennessee to be with his mom.
Yep.
She's having a procedure. So be praying for them. Mm-hmm. We're all thinking it should go pretty well. And you know, it's not a minor procedure, but it's not super major, somewhere in that, like,
yeah, that you don't know how to explain it. To folks phase. Yeah.
Yeah. So be praying. So Pastor Brian's going to be out for a week and, the podcast hosts here took a vote and voted Mark gets to share because he's preaching next weekend.
I lost 2-1.
It was, yeah, but I'm holding up both hands. Doesn't matter, buddy. So this past weekend, we've been working through this Way, Truth, Life book by Dr. David Busick. And I did Saving Grace. And then this past weekend, Pastor Brian did Sanctifying Grace, which super Wesleyan Nazarene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super Nazarene.
Huge part
of it. And there were a bunch of pens.
Yeah.
I almost tripped on.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that later. Pastor Leslie had herself a couple moments. But
she did. All she needed to talk about was Trunk or Treat. But what we got was like a 7-minute stand-up routine.
I've been really funny lately, y'all. I got jokes.
She thinks.
And we'll tell you about Trunk or Treat in just a minute in case you get this before Halloween.
Right. So, Sanctifying Grace.
Sanctifying Grace.
It's a huge, huge component of our theology of who we are as the Church of the Nazarene. It's this understanding that spiritual growth isn't done the minute that we have a relationship with God. It's something continues to happen over time. So we continue to grow in grace throughout our lives. And it's more than just time as well. It's also training. It's us spending time in community with one another. And it is cooperation. And this is how Pastor Brian put it, cooperation with God and intentional training that leads to a communal effort. So that, which is just such a cool way of thinking, and this actually will tie into what we're going to be hearing about next week.
We hope you're doing
well. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so who knows if it changes halfway through the week? But
that laugh.
I get it from Avery.
Yeah, it's true. Well, he's got a deeper voice than you, so
it's not fair.
Yeah,
it's not fair.
So we will be moving on to talk about what it's like to experience grace as a community next week. We're going to be partaking in communion and participating in that. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good time of worship. But back to the whole just spiritual growth and this idea of a sanctifying grace. There's a lot of times. What we experience and what we think we are capable of is very, very small compared to the plans that God actually has for us. And so in sanctifying grace and in this idea of, so that there's a term that we use, entire sanctification, look it up. It's a fun definition. I'll give you the 10-second rundown.
Ordained Nazarene pastors need to know this.
Yeah, we do. Like, yeah.
We are grilled on it every year.
Right. So the premise is that every single day we are growing closer and closer in our relationship with God. to a point in which we basically are achieving this. And this is actually a dirty word for a lot of people, but Christian perfection.
Yeah, it's not a dirty word. It's just we don't understand
it's hard.
I personally don't like the word because of the way it's right. been colloquially understood.
Bless you. So the term that a lot of folks are starting to use, and it means the same thing, is instead this idea of holiness or Christian holiness. Oh no.
Holiness.
I knew I was getting that.
Thanks, Sonic Flood.
Yeah, right. So all of that really to say is at the end of the day, how are we living? Are we living every single day for God? Are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in our yeah. in our ministries? And then are we realizing what we truly are capable of? Does our life match up with the life that God has in store for us?
Are we living fully dedicated?
Yeah.
I had in one of my district licensing interviews, which are always fun. They get increasingly more intense as the years go by yeah. towards ordination. The best description I've heard of this, at least it works for me. I'm not, all metaphors break down at some point.
Right.
The guy asked me, he goes, when you married your wife, moment of the day of your wedding, were you fully committed to her and like entirely committed to her?
And you're like, oh, I had some reservations.
Well, if you'd met her parents. No, I'm just kidding. I said, yes, absolutely. And he goes, and in the years you've been married, have you not grown closer and right. grown to understand her better yet still.
Right.
I go, yeah. So being entirely committed and entirely sanctified doesn't mean we can't still grow in that, as you right. say, grow in grace.
Right.
To get to that, that relationship, that living every day fully and totally committed to Jesus.
I've never heard that analogy and I really like it. Especially when you think of seasons, which Pastor Brian's been all about lately. But sometimes there are just really hard seasons when you're asking why a lot, or you're saying, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And there's still the ability to grow in grace, even yeah. in those seasons of like, what the heck? So
I think historically it never was meant to be understood like this, but it's been understood of like, well, entirely sanctified. Right. You're done. You've arrived. Right, like there's that point. And if you have those moments where you're questioning why, well, maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not there. And that's just, it's just not true. It's a moment where you fully dedicate and you continue to grow in grace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll actually talk more next week about this. By the way, we should probably say most likely no podcast next week. If you are listening to these as they release.
Well, I mean, I could just sit here by myself.
It's true.
You could bring your kids on.
And oh my goodness, that would be
fun. Yeah.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Describe, it is a family worship weekend.
It's
describe
true.
Communion. Camden.
I would love to actually hear
she
that.
Would
I'm
be
sure
able to.
A lot of
I've
people probably
her.
Yeah, a lot of people probably would enjoy hearing
I'm a good
that.
Teacher.
So anyway, we say that just we know scheduling and several of us will be traveling and doing other things, so we might yeah. not be might not be able to produce
I'm the only one that works around here apparently. Is what we're saying.
Well, that's a strong word, but
well, I'm the only one that's physically here. How
so,
about that?
So we'll give you a little bit of an insight as to what you might be hearing if you are listening to the sermon next week.
You can always catch the sermons at any time on our website at crossingchurch.org/messages.
Why'd you, you took so long to say it. I was hoping.
Because
slash messages. It's very difficult to say.
I get like a weird Sean Connery thing going on there. Yeah. Slash messages.
So we, that was a terrible Sean Connery.
I didn't say it was good. That's I just fair, said a Sean Connery fair. Type yeah, thing. Yeah.
So we will explore this idea of, and it's exactly what you just said. It's there are these specific moments. But if we rely on those moments, at some point we're going to run out of moments. I mean, that's just in our relationship with God, in our faith, if we are relying on these specific individual moments, those are few and far between. So what are we doing in the meantime? That's really the question. That's what this idea of sanctifying grace is. And how do we do that together as a community? So that's a little bit of a sneak peek into next week.
Sneak peek.
Ooh. It's just, usually you got to pay extra for that.
No one ever has to pay extra here.
Dang. I was trying to get a bonus.
However,
all right?
If you have some cash, you can put it in one of the black boxes.
Oh, man.
So
that's, yeah.
We do have coming up this weekend.
Yes, Saturday.
We're doing it on Saturday, so not on Halloween.
Yeah, so if you're listening, Saturday, so October 30th.
If you're listening before Saturday, October 30th, one, you can just show up with a car if you still want to have a trunk.
Absolutely.
And trunk or treat.
Bonus points for registering.
It'd be great if you emailed us.
Yeah.
Number two, if you just have kids or you just want to walk around as a weird adult by yourself to get candy, you still can, I guess. Come to Trunk or Treat.
You might have one of our security people following you, but
it's fine. It's fine.
What is the cutoff age? Like, what would you think it is? What's the cutoff age for trick or treating?
This is an argument every year. I've heard good points on both sides.
Because there's also a point where now I'm trick or treating again, but it's not for me, but it's also for me because I steal my kids' candy. But you know,
except for now they're getting smart.
They are.
They're taking inventory.
Oh, Camden probably has a spreadsheet and she's got written down how many Starbursts she has. Yeah. And
you're gonna 7 pink.
You're going to wake up one day and she's just going to be wailing on you for eating a Snickers bar or something.
The good part is right now Avery is our loving and generous one. And he'll just be like, here, Daddy. He's like, you can have this. So that'll
be
good.
Then he gets mad because you ate it.
That's true. This morning we got him. He always gets a piece of candy when he comes in, mainly because I don't have to deal with him. I'm giving him to his teacher, so I don't care. Have some sugar.
Yeah.
But he hands me the Kit Kat. He's like, here, Daddy, open this. I'm like, okay. So I open it and I just hand him the empty wrapper.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not as amused.
My other favorite thing that you've been doing, if it's like Skittles or something, you rip it open and then all of a sudden you just yell, Dad Tax.
Oh yeah, that's a real thing.
And he goes, no Dad Tax. And it's not going to stop you.
No, Dad Taxes exist. And this is the year they're going to find out what type of candy bracket they're really in.
The rates
they might be
up
in the top 1%. I'm taking 40% of that puppy. You can have the bit of honey,
so
kid.
So Trunk or Treat is on Saturday, October 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to have free hot chocolate, free coffee.
Enjoy those Necco wafers.
Oh,
It's going to be a lot of fun. We always have. We have over 20 cars already
signed
up.
Like 25 I think we're 20, already?
25 or 26, yeah. And we're expecting more.
Expecting more.
Those late.
Those Nazarenes.
Yeah. So it's going to be just a lot of fun.
It's
going to
be
blessed. Always fun. We're going to have music.
Wait, we are?
Yep.
Surprise.
You're going to be there, right?
I know. I'm doing the music. I'm just DJing. Not really. I'm just playlist on an iPhone and then walking my kids around to get candy.
Yep.
That's what DJs do, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I should make a career out of just standing over looking like I'm pressing buttons.
I have actual friends who do it. And I know it's more convoluted than that. But
we have a youth who has started.
There's a lot of work.
Scratching.
Oh, nice. Oh. Like, that's what I would... I'm old, so that's what I would consider, like, real in-the-moment skill, to be able to... But, and I know that modern DJs actually do spend a ton of time in production, and they do... Or whatever. I'm not here to apologize to DJs. Come at me, Calvin Harris.
Oh, man, this is getting feisty.
It is. So, that. Trunk or Treat.
Yes,
come,
Trunk or Treat.
Come to Trunk or Treat. It'll be fun.
It's going
to
be great.
It'll be a blast. We'll probably put pictures up somewhere, because who knows... So let's go like this. So I've got two questions to end the podcast.
Two.
We normally only do one, but
sign up for this.
We're not going to have a podcast next week, so we're going to do two.
All right.
Number one, best and worst Halloween candy.
Okay.
Number two, the best costume you ever dressed up as.
Ooh.
What was your best costume for Halloween in what year? So let's start with number one, best and worst Halloween candy, Pastor Leslie.
Worst Halloween candy is a box of raisins.
That's not even candy.
It's a thing.
That's like going to the dentist's house and he passes out toothbrushes.
For some reason. That's super popular in the Midwest. I got raisin boxes like every year.
Honestly, I'm more surprised they don't give out packets of ranch in the Midwest.
It's because they all know we've got the gallon
also,
size at home.
Some houses would give out pop, but like an entire pop can, and that just makes your pillowcase so heavy that you don't...
Never heard of anybody giving out a whole pop can. I feel like maybe you just showed up to the house and they didn't have anything.
No,
and they're like well,
every year.
Here's a Mountain Dew.
Like Grape Crush or Orange Crush or Cream Soda. Like it's a fun pop.
That sounds like a Canadian thing.
It might be. So that's the worst.
The worst.
The best is Canadian Smarties.
No.
They are pretty good.
Which is chocolate.
I've had them. They're not that good.
Well, that's because you're not as
Canadian
awesome as me. So Canadian Smarties are the best. Hands down.
What's
always.
That, Olu Booty? I don't know.
Pastor Mark, best candy, worst candy.
Man, the raisin got me thinking.
That's not candy.
Black licorice.
You're wrong there, too.
No. That's
black licorice
that's
is good.
Get out of here. It's the worst.
I have an affinity because of my grandfather. Yeah,
that's fair. And that's fair. I'll give you that. But best, not a specific one, but anything that was king-sized.
Yeah, you knew the houses in town that gave out the king-sized
parts. I didn't live in that neighborhood.
Yeah, when someone says, here's the fun size, and I sit there and I think, it's like, you and I have a very different definition of fun. It's like, that is not at all fun size for me. So anything king size, that would be my go-to.
Anything king size. Yeah. All right. So for me, obviously, worst is candy corn, right?
100%.
It is
people
the worst.
People never gave out candy corn for Halloween.
Yeah, I would get some.
But why is it like people are willing to fight over candy corn?
It tastes like nothing.
I don't understand it.
It's disgusting. They've only ever made one batch of it, and every year somebody from the candy corn company goes into everybody's trash bins and just pulls it out, and they give it back out next year. And it tastes the same.
Yeah.
Have to be in a trash bin.
Ugh.
And then my favorite candy, although there's a better iteration coming after Easter.
Okay.
But Reese's. Oh, Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah. Like, if you found the house that gave out a king-size Reese's peanut butter cups, yeah, like, you changed your costume gold. Three times and went back to make sure you got more.
They have, so, Pastor Leslie actually just got a bag of the bats, Reese's bats.
Okay.
Not as good as the eggs.
Reese's.
Sorry, yeah, Reese's.
You are right.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Right. You're right. It's, you know, Reese's.
Reese's.
But it's still Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, Reese's Pieces.
doesn't matter.
So, yeah, the bats weren't bad, but I agree with you. I think original cups and then the eggs.
The eggs. Those, the eggs after Easter.
Those are the best.
The eggs are the perfect perfect distribution of chocolate and peanut butter. It has not, cannot, will not ever be beat.
We will fight you on that one. That's the, like, I will stand by that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, no. That's actually in the Bible somewhere. I'll find it.
It's scriptural.
Yeah. So Jesus said
Reese's.
So. That's why they come after Easter. They're following Jesus. They're that important. Okay.
That's so many things I want to say, and I'm just, nope.
It's my favorite holiday, the day after Easter, because they're on sale.
They are on sale.
You get
sale.
Them 50% off. So, all right, best Halloween costume that you've had in your life?
Mine, I feel like mine kind of, so I cheated when I was growing up because I played sports all the time. So I could just,
I've done that
too. I could just do that. But so I would say then, I think 2 years ago, we've talked about it before, I dressed up as you. I actually borrowed some of your clothes.
We'll put up that picture.
Yeah.
Which is flattering.
Yeah. But, it gets better. I walked by and a couple of the younger kids said, "Hi, Pastor Nate." So it's like, it worked.
It worked. What was really flattering is it's actually the third time in my 10 years here that somebody has dressed up for me as Halloween. Back when I was in my sweater vest phase, somebody showed up in a sweater vest with a fake like guitar from Guitar Hero and skinny jeans.
I think I pulled it off.
You did. It was a pretty good costume. I was honored. So, Pastor Leslie, your favorite?
Never mind. My favorite costume.
My favorite costume was, it was the last year I was allowed to go trick or treating, which where I grew up was eighth grade because our elementary school was junior kindergarten, which is like pre-K through eighth grade. And I dressed up as an ugly old lady. And it was
the face that she's made, she's so excited to tell.
Oh my gosh. I had like a pillow stuffed in my butt and it was just fantastic. It was such a good costume. It was a lot of fun. And I wasn't even cold because
you had a pillow stuffed in your butt,
right? Exactly.
Halloween's in Canada, you always had two costumes. You had your parade costume for school.
Yeah.
And then you had your costume that fit over your snowsuit. Trick or treating.
I do think, I mean,
we ran into that a little bit in the Midwest.
I think there, and I don't know if this is a true trend, but with churches, more and more churches or community centers and schools doing safer trunk or treat, just all come to one space. I feel like the door to door stuff is being minimized. Like we're not doing that as much as a society.
Well, for so long, we're taught about stranger danger, except October 31st when it's perfectly okay to take candy from strangers.
I'd never take candy from strangers unless you're dressed up like a ghost.
Yeah. And they're probably dressed up too.
And let's see, my favorite costume, I don't know, I didn't dress up. I was the obligatory pumpkin as a baby. My mom did the pumpkin stuffed with newspaper, which was cute,
right?
I cross-dressed one Halloween. That was, there's a picture of that.
Here's
floating
my
around somewhere
face. Yeah.
Hey, I made a pretty young girl, that's all I'm saying. Long blonde hair.
I've seen that picture.
I think you have. I borrowed a dress from one of my good friends. Like, she just let me borrow the dress. I never gave it back.
Borrowed.
I still have
it.
Yeah,
it's in
absolutely
the closet.
So, but I don't know. We do family costumes a lot. I went as Prince Eric
two years ago,
because Avery was Flounder, which was maybe the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
It was pretty darn cute.
And, you know, I have an affinity for The Little Mermaid, so that was my favorite Disney movie growing up.
Something about red hair.
So
you should marry someone with red hair.
I might have. And what they say is true. They are full of fire. My goodness. I love her. And then this year, I don't even know what I'm going as. I don't think I have time, but because of my hair, I was going to try and dress up as Aaron Rodgers from Training Camp.
Oh, that would be pretty funny.
With the shirt from The Office and the Pit Viper glasses. But
I think you should surprise your son and get an adult-sized hammerhead costume.
Or go as a bucket of chum. Because your kid's obsessed with sharks.
He is, and he is going to be a hammerhead, and he he already has the costume and he wears it pretty consistently already. Yeah. And it is maybe one of the cutest things ever. The first day we got it, we let him wear it that evening. We took it off for bed. And the next morning he gets up first thing, like at 6:30 a.m., puts it on, goes downstairs with his sister, and they're just sitting on the couch watching cartoons.
That's awesome.
So I come downstairs and there's this hammerhead shark on the couch watching cartoons. And he goes, "Can you open this for me?" And hands me a breakfast bar.
Dad tax.
Dad tax. So hopefully you have some wonderful costumes that you've worn over the years or that you're going to wear this year at our Trunk or Treat. If you listen to the podcast and you show up to Trunk or Treat, come see one of us and show us your costume. We want to see it.
Yeah, we do. And setup is at 5 p.m.
Setup is at 5 p.m. if you're going to bring a trunk. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Crossing Church Rewind. As always, you can find out more information about our church at crossingchurch.org. Be sure to check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Or if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about me cross-dressing as a kid, you can email us at podcast@crossingchurch.org. And if you want to financially support the ministries of the church, you can do that online at crossingchurch.org/give. Thanks for checking in this week. Thanks for listening and taking a moment to share this podcast with your friends and family. Tune in again next week. Newfoundland.